The Holy Gospel according to the 18th chapter of St. Luke, beginning with the 9th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to please be seated. So in our Gospel lesson today, we have a couple of people, and they're being contrasted, one against the other. Now the Pharisee, he's saying a prayer to God. And did you notice who he mostly talked about in his prayer? He said by himself, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people. He's not like the thieves, the rogues, the adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all my income. Sounds like he's pretty proud of himself, doesn't he? And the thing is, with the Pharisees, it was their job to know the correct rituals and practices. And he was doing everything right. But he forgot something in his prayer. He forgot to open up his heart to God, to leave a space for God to come in. He was pretty much just boasting to God, I'm glad I'm not like these other people, those tax collectors and you know, those thieves and the rogues and the adulterers. I'm not like that. I'm not like that God at all. Thank you so much for making me not like them. And then you have the tax collector. Now, the tax collector was kind of a shady person because not only did they collect the taxes for the Roman Empire, but, you know, if you don't feel like they're paying you enough, you just charge more taxes. Stick it in your pocket on the side. And this tax collector, he knows he's kind of messed up, right? He knows he can't even look toward the heavens in his prayer. He's looking down. And he beats on his breast, which is a sign of great distress. And he's saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He messed up big. Hurt a lot of people, took a lot of their money, was kind of shady, and he knows it. And he knows that not through the things that he does, but through God's mercy, he can be forgiven. Through God's mercy, he humbles himself. He humbles himself. Be merciful to me. He opened his heart. He has hope for God's mercy and tender understanding. He isn't relying on himself, but this Pharisee, it's all about him. Mostly about him and what he's not. Now, I've said before that when I read these passages, I try to connect with one person or another in the story if I can. And frankly, I gotta be honest, sometimes I think, in this one, I'm a little of both. It's true. We all have those moments. And it's hard. It's hard, but see, here's the thing. The message in here is that it's not too late. Because Jesus tells us, I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. The tax collector was justified rather than the other because he opened a space for God to come in. He wanted to be changed. He wanted to do something different so he wouldn't be as sinful as he had been. Isn't that kind of what we all want to? Those moments where we can be close to God and to allow God to just come in and make a difference in our life, because we can't do it on our own. God knows that life is filled with many challenges and lessons along the way. And I wish they were as easy as some of the things I had when I was in elementary school. But yet some of the stuff was kind of hard too. And the lessons we learned, the kids that I was mean to just because I felt like I was wanting to be mean that day. The time we glued a kid to his chair with crazy glue because he was the mean kid. And they had to get scissors to cut him out of his pants because he was stuck to the chair. I was 8. I should have asked for forgiveness for that a long time ago. But I will say he learned his lesson and he wasn't mean anymore, but I digress. There are those times when we just mess up. Please do not glue anyone to their chair. That's mean, by the way. There's times when we mess up. When you want that one parking spot that you had your eye on that you know somebody's going to pull into, and you pull into it anyway, quick. Ha ha. Times when we're not kind to somebody. Those moments, we mess up. And the thing is, it's going to happen because we're human, we're not God. But we can ask for forgiveness. Lord, I'm sorry. Please help me to not do that again. We know we can't do it on our own. And the cool thing is, God brings us into a relationship with him through Christ. And God's grace can only come from there. That's the only place it can come from. We can show grace towards one another and compassion and love. And it's wonderful because God gives it to us. We learn how it works. But we can never do it on the scale that God can do it, ever. And that's great news. Because when we mess up, we can turn it all over to God and realize that the more God's at work in our lives and the more time we offer in prayer for God, the more opportunities God has to change our hearts. This weekend, we celebrate Reformation Sunday today. And I figured I would look up and see, research what Martin Luther had to say about prayer. Now, this is only one page. It's titled A Simple Way to Pray by Martin Luther. And the other title is Prayer, the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, and the Creed, a letter to his barber, Master Peter Beskendorf of Spring of 1535. This is page 1 of 11, and it's A Simple Way to Pray. Aren't you glad I didn't bring the other 10 pages? Well, Martin was a good German, and he liked words, and he had a lot to say. So you're going to hear a few today, but not all 11 pages. And mind you, he was one of the key reformers of the church, and we would normally like to think that he had it all figured out, but here's what he has to say. I will tell you as best I can what I do personally when I pray. May our dear Lord grant to you and to everybody to do it better than I! Exclamation point. Amen. First, he says, when I feel that I have become cool and joyless in prayer because of other tasks or thoughts, for the flesh and the devil always impede and obstruct prayer, I take my little psalter, hurry to my room, or, if it be the day and hour for it, to the church where a congregation is assembled, and as time permits, I say quietly to myself and word for word the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and, if I have time, some words of Christ or of Paul or some Psalms, just as a child might do. That's his simple way to pray. How long do you think that took him? He says it's a good thing to let prayer be the first business of the morning and the last at night. Guard yourself carefully against those false deluding ideas which tell you, wait a little while, I will pray in an hour, first I must attend to this or that. Oh man, if I had a dollar for every time that happened to me, I would be one rich lady. It's so easy to get distracted, isn't it? Oh, I'll set aside a time and then something happens and I don't. Could all use a little help. Luther says, such thoughts get you away from prayer into other affairs, which so hold your attention and involve you that nothing comes of prayer for that day. The day slips away so fast, and the next thing you know, you're out like a light, and it's bedtime, and you're out like a light, and you wake up the next morning, and you do it again. Further down, he says, Christ says in Luke 11, pray without ceasing, because one must unceasingly guard against sin and wrongdoing, something one cannot do unless one fears God and keeps his commandment in mind, as Psalm 1 says, blessed is he who meditates upon this law day and night. Yet we must be careful not to break the habit of true prayer and imagine other works to be necessary, which after all are nothing of the kind. Thus, at the end, we become lax and lazy, cool and listless towards prayer. The devil who besets us is not lazy or careless, and our flesh is too ready and eager to sin and is disinclined to the spirit of prayer. So even Martin Luther struggled. We're not alone. We're not alone at all. And in the things that he talks about using for prayer, the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, and the Creed, it's all about God and our faith in God. Opening ourselves for that relationship, much like the relationships we have with each other, only God wants it on a deeper level. God knows all those things that are deep inside ourselves that we can't even share with other people. God knows. And in praying with God and sharing those, we give God the chance to come in and change our hearts and to be merciful to us, just as he is to this tax collector in our lesson today. Amen.